8:06 a.m. Quad Cities, the News Talk 1420 WOC. It is time to join Kevin Phelps from Quad Cities Today over at KWQC. Mr. Phelps, and I call you Mr. because...
Just making sure you're there, Senator Grassley.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, just stand by. Dan will be with you here right after the weather, okay?
Okay, thank
all
you.
Right.
People that I think will be complaining are maybe some of those ski resorts like Chestnut Mountain and maybe even SkiStar as well. So.
Right, they're probably pretty sick. You know, hey, it's December 9th. We should have some... snow by now, right? That's, I mean, normally
yeah, I
at
mean,
this
it's,
point.
It's the second snowiest month on average, so we just haven't seen any of it so far, and really, I don't see much of it, at least in the next 10 to 11 days.
Well, wow, really? So what's doing this? Yeah, is this the El Nino? Is this the high pressure system?
It's partly because the El Nino set up, but we have a really strong storm system off the Pacific Northwest. As you've been watching and following the news, Portland, Oregon, has been getting drilled with several inches of rain, so that's actually impacting our weather, bringing us a lot of warm air. So low 50s today. We're in the upper 50s tomorrow, which is really close to record high territory for a Thursday.
And when's the next chance of rain? Maybe this weekend?
Yeah, we're looking at this weekend, and it's more of a Saturday night than a Sunday morning. Moderate to heavy rain, 1 to 2 inches is setting up. And then if we can get enough cold air wrapping in quick enough, we might finish up with a few flurries, but nothing that's going to accumulate.
Wow. All right. No complaints there, Kevin. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right.
That is Kevin Phelps from Quad Cities Today over at KWQC. It is 8:08 and 34 degrees.
Now another hour of healthy conversation from the WOC studios, delivered by Genesis Birth Centers.
AM Quad Cities, Dan Dibert with you. Dan Kennedy on vacation this week. He'll return next week. So Dan misses our regular chat with U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley joining us this morning from Washington, D.C. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Now, did he leave just because I was going to be on here?
No, he actually is talking about he's on vacation but not really going anywhere. He was actually talking about coming back just to chat with you. I mean,
well,
he's going to take a day off of vacation to come back and chat with you. But
When you have two Dans doing the same program, how do you keep the people of Scott County from being confused?
Dan the Elder and Dan the Younger. We do the old British Prime Minister thing. So
okay.
That's the way we do it. So.
Well, I'm glad to be with you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Boy, we got so much to talk about, too. I'm actually confused as to where we start. How about we start with the House last night voting to tighten the controls on visa-free travel to the U.S.? I know that the Senate has a little bit different bill going through. How are you going to vote on that, and what's the difference in the bill?
I would vote for restrictions, and I don't think in the end that there'll be any difference in the bills for this reason, that I believe the strategy is for the House of Representatives to include their bill in the omnibus appropriation bill, and if they do that, I doubt if there'll be any changes in the part of the bill that deals with visas. The differences are kind of minute anyway, so they're hardly worth talking about. And I think that with the overwhelming majority that it passed, I think 400 and some votes, so it had less than 20 votes opposed to it. So such overwhelming understanding of the dangers of somebody that can freely come to the United States without a visa, which means you can come to the United States without an interview, then, of course, people that have that status within a country, and there's 38 of these countries, and they wanted to come here and do damage, like, let's say, what happened in San Bernardino last week, could come into this country without any vetting whatsoever.
I think it's interesting that the female terrorist actually came in on the fiancé visa, which is different than the visa waiver program. And there's really nobody seems to want to adjust that at all.
Well, that's when you do get a visa like that, you at least go through a questioning process at the embassies.
Right, and I guess so people hear that, and then now they're going to wonder what kind of questioning policy, you know, what kind of questioning you go under, because I think it's fair to say that something was very much missed on this particular person.
But, you know, that was a while ago. Well, no, I guess it was within the last 2 years that she came in under that.
Right.
The point is, was she? Did she come in with a motivation of being the terrorist that she turned out to be, or did that happen after she got over here? And that investigation, that question still hasn't been answered yet. Unless we get an answer today, the FBI is coming before my committee for what we call an oversight hearing, which means you can ask questions on any subject you want to. And I assume some of these points are going to come up there. But at least as far as I know, unless we learn different this morning, that investigation or the question you asked probably won't be answered for quite a while.
One of the other things that is tied to this now, and the president made this part of his address to the nation the other night, and it was this motion to, or this move to say that if you're on the no-fly list, you cannot buy a gun. And I think that's sort of sidestepping the issue to me, because they were not on the no-fly list. I mean, we're tying that to something that it doesn't belong being tied to. But then there are serious questions about the no-fly list and how you get on there, how you get off. You know, we're starting to talk about infringing on somebody's Second Amendment rights with no, you know, without facing a trial, without, you know, facing your accusers. And I think that's an issue that concerns a lot of people. Where do you stand on that?
Not only Second Amendment rights it might infringe upon, but the right to travel is a constitutional right, not specifically stated in the Constitution, but by Supreme Court decisions going back to the 1930s, the right to travel is also a fundamental right of Americans. So you asked me where I stand. First of all, you're very accurate that it could violate people's constitutional rights. Even before you consider the gun issue that you brought up, you have to look at the fact that there's people on the no-fly list that were put on there mistakenly. And one of them is the now-deceased Senator Ted Kennedy that found that he was on the right. No-fly list. And you don't know why you get on the fly list. You can't find out why you get on the fly list. And once you're on the no-fly list, it's practically impossible to get off. I'm not even sure. I can maybe find out this information, but I almost get the impression that once you're on the list, you aren't going to get off of it and you aren't going to know why you're on. Now, let's get back to your question. So you're on the no-fly list, you can still buy a gun. That's not true. When you show up on the no-fly list, the FBI is notified of it immediately, and if you're they have an opportunity to temporarily halt the purchase of guns. They have the opportunity, if you're really a threat to safety of Americans, they can follow you, put a tracker on you. They can do further investigation. So the president is wrong when you say you're on the no-fly list, you can still buy a gun. No, the FBI is immediately notified of that. And
why the big push then? Where did this come from? This is something that just came in the last couple of weeks, or ever since the terrorist attack. This is an odd reaction, because I don't know, has it ever happened where somebody who was on the no-fly list bought a gun and then used it in a mass shooting attack? I don't think it's ever even happened.
No, it's the president's lack of understanding, number one, that the FBI doesn't know about it, so they can follow up. So if you shouldn't have a gun, you won't get the gun. The second thing is the president saying that you ought to, if you're on the no-fly list, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. You mean you aren't going to let people exercise their constitutional rights of due process when they are exercising a constitutional right? And that's what he would be denying them.
Seems to me like this is sort of put out there as a distraction to maybe look the other way, so we're not paying attention as to how much they actually missed. So now we're learning a little bit more about the background of this female. You'll probably hear more today in your meeting about this, but we're hearing more about her background, and I think this is sort of a distraction to keep people not focused on how much how the government background check did not work in this case.
People can stream. We stream our hearing, so people in Iowa, if they've got access to a computer, they can follow our hearing today live.
Can I get you to hang on for here just a couple of minutes? We can talk about the funding bill that you guys are going to be dealing with.
Yeah.
All right, great. Hold on just a moment. Senator Charles Grassley joining us this morning here on AM Quad Cities. It looks like they'll be working into the weekend on this funding bill. We'll talk about that, plus a little more coming up. It's 8:16 here at AM Quad Cities.
Hi, it's Dan Dibert. I'm here with Bill Daly, the owner of Abbey Carpet Gallery. Bill, buying new flooring is a big decision for people. Give me an example of how the Abbey warranty gives people peace of mind.
Let's say that you do a tile floor in your kitchen. 45 days later, you call me on the phone and say, Bill, you know, the guys did such an awesome job on the tile. It's exactly what we picked out, but, you know, we really want blue instead of beige. Well, our warranty shows that within 60 days, if you decide to change, we will tear that out. We'll supply a product of equal value. If it's greater, you'll pay the difference, but equal value, install it all at zero cost to you. And that's something that I don't think anybody else in the Quad Cities does. Though it doesn't happen every day, it certainly has happened many times, but that just gives peace of mind to the customer.
I've said it many times before, I'll say it again. You will not find better, more trustworthy people to deal with than you'll find at Abbey. Visit the unique showroom at 4811 North Brady Street in Davenport. It's Abbey Carpet Gallery.
I like shopping for pet supplies at Farm and Fleet because I can just do a one-stop shop.
There are so many reasons folks love shopping at Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Supplies for my calves. I buy all my milk replacer here, all of my bedding, my medication. We buy horse feed, we buy bird seed, we buy winter boots.
I have a dog and I have a cat, and Farm and Fleet is a great place to shop for the things that I need for them, like their food, their toys, and their treats.
Right now at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, stock up on Purina Cat Chow, complete and indoor formulas, now $10.99. Keep your pet's water free of ice with heated water bowls from Ally. They start at $12.99. And keep your pets safe with a Pet Lodge wire crate from Miller. Starting at $29.99, all sizes of crates and mats are on sale.
I really find a lot of value here at Farm and Fleet.
For a limited time only, sign up for our 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more with your Blaine's Farm and Fleet credit card.
And that way, I find so destroy how it is.
818 AM Quad Cities News Talk, 1420 WOC. Senator Charles Grassley joining us this morning, still here on AM Quad Cities. So let's talk about the budget here, Senator Grassley. There's a big headline today in USA Today that says, are we headed towards another government shutdown? That's not on the agenda, right? I mean, that's pretty much been taken off the table.
Both Republican leaders of the House and Senate said we aren't going to have a shutdown. And I think beyond the two leaders saying that, I haven't heard some of the people that caused the shutdown in 2013 saying that they're going to go to the greatest extent to get what they want, even if it shuts down the government. I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah.
And not only that, but when you got this big budget deficit we have, and it costs money to shut down government, costs money to open up government, it's not the right thing to do, besides the fact that people lose service from the government. And that service may be bad for the constituents, but whatever it is, you know, they're going to want it when they want it. And that's the purpose of government, to protect people and to do other things. So where we are is, if we were going to get done by December the 11th, which is the deadline, the House would have had to file a bill by Monday midnight. Then they got a rule of 72 hours before the bill can come up, so people have an opportunity to read it, and they better read it because our constituents expect us to read these bills. So it may not come up until Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, I don't think the House is going to go home for the weekend if they have to do it. But since we have to wait for the House representatives to pass the appropriation bill, because that's the procedure that's been adopted by precedent, it's not like a tax bill that it absolutely has to start in the House, but by precedent, we wait for the House to do the appropriation bills first, then we may not be in session Saturday and Sunday in the Senate and finish up Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday next week. Then we'll be home until after the first of the year for the Christmas holiday.
As far as, you know, comparing this with other budget, I'm going to use the word showdown, this doesn't have that same kind of feel to it, but what's holding this up here? Why? What's the delay, do you think, here?
Yeah, it's not about the money.
Right, that's been passed, right?
Yeah.
We know how much we're spending.
Well, it's been passed in the sense that the budget resolution's been amended. The budget resolution last April's been amended by a recent decision here over the next 2 years to spend $80 billion more because the Democrats were going to shut down the government if they didn't get the additional $80 billion.
Right.
So they got it. But that's for 2 years, not 1 year. Originally, they wanted it for the 1 year. And we spread it out over 2 years, so that was the compromise. So the money's not in dispute because the appropriations committees have just added the extra money to decisions they made 3 or 4 months ago at a lower level of spending. What's in dispute now is amendments to appropriation bills that say something like this. Like, for instance, I hear from people in Scott County, particularly farmers, but you even hear from county board of supervisors and golf course people, managers in Scott County, that this EPA rule called Waters of the U.S. that greatly expands EPA jurisdiction over almost every square inch of land in Iowa. It would say something like none of the money in this appropriation bill can be used to carry out Waters of the U.S. Now, there's 25 of those restrictions on expenditures of money. I support most of the 25 since they come out of a Democratic bureaucracy. The president is not supporting them. So how many of the 25 can be put on these appropriation bills to restrict expenditures have some sort of a compromise that the president will sign? That's what the dispute is right now.
I know the question, you know, this is a House-related question, but do you think that this bill is going to pass through a Republican House without Republican majority support?
I think it'll have Republican majority support, yes.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay. And also, I want to quickly throw in here, the transportation bill. A lot of people are excited because, you know, it's a five-year deal, and that's been a while since we've actually had a more longer-term transportation deal. I'm just kind of throwing this at you out of the blue here, but is any of the money in that bill, is that going to go towards the I-74 bridge project, which I know a lot of people care about?
That'll be up to the states of Illinois and Iowa, because we used to, for other bridges, for up until 2010, we had what we call earmarks and appropriation bills. So highway bill or their appropriation bill would say X number of dollars ought to be spent on this bridge or that bridge.
Right.
But then that was a big deal in the election. People thought the bridge to nowhere was wasting taxpayers' money, so there's a big effort to do away with earmarks. So since 2010, we don't have earmarks. The money all goes to the states under a formula. So the state of Illinois and the state of Iowa will decide how much money's going to be spent on that bridge.
Got it. All right. Well, Senator, I know you have a busy day, and I know it's a busy time for you there, and I appreciate you taking the time out to join us as always. Thank you so much.
You bet. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That is U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley joining us this morning from Washington, D.C. It's 8:25 here at AM Quad Cities.